to Luke chapter 19, 41. I say this every Christmas and Easter, I think. I am not a thematic preacher. I believe that all of God's word should be preached, and I believe that if it's preached completely, then you will be well versed in it. If you take notes, I've entitled the message simply, Jesus Wept. Jesus Wept. Luke 19:41, thus saith the Lord. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this, your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Let's bow our heads and ask the Holy Spirit to open up our text for us. Spirit of God, we call upon you in the name of Christ to open our ears, open our hearts, help us, Lord, to understand, and we pray for a blessing. We pray, Lord, there might be something in here that we can take home with us. There might be something in here, Lord, we might share with another. But most of all, we ask that you would be glorified. I pray that everything from my mouth would be of you, Lord, and I would just be the vessel. Thank you, Father, for giving me this message, and I pray you would be the one who feeds your children. In Christ's name, amen. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. I want to sort of park on that one part of the verse. I'm not cutting it out. I'm simply want to draw your attention to a few points. We're told in Scripture that on three occasions our Lord Jesus wept. In John 11:35, Jesus wept just before he raised Lazarus from the dead. He witnessed the sorrow of Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary. He saw the fruit of sin in the death of his dear friend Lazarus. And to Jehovah Jesus, the Creator, the stinking tomb was nothing more than a monument to the victory death had over his creatures. So he groaned in the spirit, and the Bible says he wept. The second occurrence is found in Hebrews 5:7. Here, I think the Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews. He tells us, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Charles Spurgeon, commenting on this text, said, that passage relates to the agony in Gethsemane, in which a shower of bitter tears was mingled with the bloody sweat. The strength of his, that's Christ's, love, strove with the anguish of his soul, and in the process, it brought forth the sacred waters of his eyes. You see, beloved, tears are the blood of a wounded soul. They are the safety valves of a heart that's under pressure, about to burst. And they're attributes that only God and men have. Lower creatures don't have them, and angels don't have them. Man comes into this world crying, and I dare say that many go out of this world crying. And Jesus, he came into this world to bear people's grief. My proof verse is Isaiah 53:3-4. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I dare say there hasn't been a human being that has ever lived that has felt the sorrow, that has felt the pain and the grief that the God-man Jesus did. Let me ask you this. Can you imagine what it must have been like for a sinless, holy, righteous God-man to be surrounded every single moment of his life with sin. Can you get a hold of that, of what it must have been like to never have a moment when sin wasn't near you or even touching you, and you were the holy, righteous God incarnate? Let me tell you what that means. That means that every person that Jesus healed brought him in direct contact with the fruits of sin. When he healed the man's eyes, when he healed the lame and the crippled, all disease is the result of sin. And every time he touched someone, even the woman who touched the hem of his garment, who had the issue of blood, was healed, and it said he felt virtue leaving him. Every single person in his life was a sinner, except him. Every demon he cast out was a personal affront to his holiness. And every person he raised from the dead was a painful reminder of the separation from man, of his separation from man in the Garden of Eden. Romans 6:23 reminds us of that, for the wages of sin is death. So yes, Jesus wept. And the third reference that shows us Jesus wept is in our text. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it. Now let me begin by saying that that word wept, translated from the original language, the word wept is very, very weak. If you look into the original Greek, he wept means a great deal more than just tears. You have to understand that the language we read in the Bible is close most of the time, but sometimes there's a little disparity between the real meaning of the words. It's watered down, and in this case it is, because he wept in the original language means he had a heartfelt sobbing grief with crying. A better translation of our text would be Jesus lamented over it. That means he suffered a deep spiritual anguish. And we know that that's true. And we know that's how we felt, because the rest of the text expresses that terrible grief that our Lord and Savior felt. Jesus wept, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. As the sovereign of sorrow rode his donkey in triumph into the city of Jerusalem, he wept. On a little brow in the Mount of Olives, he looked into the city and he wept. Perhaps even in the same place 1,000 years before, King David did the same thing. As he came to Jerusalem, he wept. It was a festive event. The whole city turned out to meet him. And his ears heard the hallowed cries of, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. His ears heard that angelic choral ringing. But the King of Grief knew that in just a few days, those same people would be the ones who were crying, who would cry out, crucify him! Crucify him! He knew that his joyous entrance into Jerusalem would soon be followed by a death march out of the city, where they would nail him to a tree. He knew it. But make no mistake about it, our Lord's tears and intense grief was not for himself. He didn't feel the anguish in his heart because of what he was going to go through. He felt it for his people and for his Jerusalem. You see, beloved, Jesus, the God-man, was the most complex man that ever lived. I dare say no man has ever been more complex than Jesus Christ. By that I mean Jesus had two natures, a human nature and a divine nature. And that human nature was without sin. He was a man. He was a teacher. He was a prophet. He was a Messiah. He was a Savior. And he was God incarnate. How complex is that? And so great was his grief as he looked over Jerusalem that every single part of his being suffered. So when Jesus wept, first of all, he wept as a man. As the man Christ Jesus, as the perfect man Christ Jesus, he experienced the greatest sadness that any human being could ever feel. And he looked over the city. As he looked over the city, he knew he would be betrayed by a kiss. He knew that he would be persecuted. He knew that he would be whipped with 39 lashes from a cat of nine tails. He knew there would be a crown of thorns waiting for him. He knew that he would be crucified, and he knew that ultimately the sun would refuse to shine for 3 hours while his Father's wrath for our sins was placed upon him. He knew all of that. But that's not why he wept. He wept because his people were going to be cut off from that salvation because of their unbelief. Nothing our Lord Jesus ever did he do for himself. Everything he did for his Father and for his people. And all that he would suffer, and everything that I just said, all of the passion of Christ would do the inhabitants of Jerusalem no good. That's why he wept. And that was the thought which brought such pain and sorrow to his heart. Jesus also wept as a teacher. He was the light of the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. He came into the world to teach heavenly things, parables, earthly stories that have a heavenly meaning. He taught about the parable of the vine. I am the vine and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. He taught the parable of the sower. And that is the seeds that fall on the ground, the gospel of Christ. And how only one out of all four seeds will bear fruit. He taught about the 10 virgins and how watching for Christ, be ready. And he taught about the talents, what he gives us, and how we're to use them. He was a teacher. But the corruption of the human heart was so great, his instructions were rejected with contempt. When he looked over the city, Jesus also wept as a prophet. He who was the brightness of his Father's glory and the express image of his person, he declared the mind and the will and the heart of God to the people. But the hearts of the people were hardened. John 1:11, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. Even his own town rejected him. Is not this the carpenter's son, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Jose and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? Mark 6:3 goes on to say, so they were offended at him. In Matthew 23:37-38, the prophet Jesus lamented over Jerusalem with these words, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who sent it, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. So your house is left to you desolate. You see, he grieved in his heart that Jerusalem had killed his messengers, but yet often that text says he wanted to gather the prophet killers to himself. But they would not. What a portrait that is of God's loving grace and man's depraved nature. He says, I will, but you will not. So although it grieves his heart, Jesus promises, see, your house is left to you desolate. That simply means, because of your unbelief, you will be utterly separated from God, but not from his judgment and wrath. And if you want to know what that's like, turn to Revelation 14 and read verse 11. And you'll read what it's like to face an angry God. Jesus also wept as the Messiah. That part of him wept as well. He was the woman's seed that was promised in Genesis 3:15. He was the Shiloh seen by Jacob. He was the Prince of Peace spoken by Isaiah. He was the promised one that all the Old Testament prophets spoke of. And he was his father's unspeakable gift. He was an eternal love gift. But instead of receiving him, Jerusalem was looking for another. Jesus, the Messiah, wept for his people because he knew they were doomed because of their unbelief. He knew that in just a few days, he would tell the women of Jerusalem, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Luke 23:28. The Messiah wept because he knew the unimaginable price Israel would pay for their words. His blood shall be upon us and on our children. And in 61 A.D., that prophecy was fulfilled. The historian Josephus wrote that the streets of Jerusalem ran with blood, ankle deep, that thousands were laying in the street, dead. Pestilence was everywhere. Women were in the upper chambers with their children, dying of famine. And Titus, the general who caused all of this, when he was making his rounds, would look at all the carnage around him and raise his hands to heaven and say, this is not my doing. And he was right. I tell you that as he looked over the city, Jesus also wept as a savior. He came to give them rest. Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 11:28-29. He came to give them peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. John 14:27. And he came to give them eternal life. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. John 10:28. But the Savior's message was so hated by the people of Jerusalem that they chose to free the murderer Barabbas and crucify their Savior. Perhaps someone is listening this morning who is in need of a Savior. Someone who is searching for rest, peace, and eternal life. If that's you, be encouraged to trust in the weeping Savior, Jesus Christ. Anyone who has a sincere desire to be close to God may come to Christ without hesitation. He's waiting and weeping for you. His heart grieves because you have not come and laid your sins at his feet. And he didn't shed tears for just you. It wasn't just his tears. He shed his blood for you. He died so that sinners like you and I would have life and life more abundantly. So come to the weeping Savior and cry out, Jesus, save me. If you feel God stirring your heart, see me after the service or call me, and I'll show you in God's word how much he loves you and how much he's calling you. And lastly, Jesus wept as God incarnate. God grieved, and the human nature wept. So you see, divine nature does suffer, and Jesus' tears prove it. Every part of Jesus was affected when he looked over the city and wept. These were the tears of a man, a teacher, a prophet. They were tears of a Messiah and the Savior and the God-man. They were both human and divine tears of pity, sympathy, and displeasure. And they were tears of a wounded soul and a loving spirit. Jesus wept, he bled, he died because he loved you and you and you and you. Jesus wept each and every day as you go through your life. You have to understand that so much was given that you might have your salvation. We tend to dishonor God sometimes by taking our salvation for granted, by slacking off in our religious duties, by slacking off in our religious service. Jesus wept, Jesus bled, and Jesus died for each and every one of his people. Much was given that you would be, that you would have the faith that you have to be sitting here this morning. Much was given. And all that's asked of you is to remember that Jesus wept, is to remember that he should be the apple of your eye. As we approach Easter, the resurrection, the resurrection wouldn't have been there had it not been for the death. It was the death that saved us all. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We would all still be in our sin had Christ not went to that cross. And he did. And he did it for you and I. And we should never lose sight of all the blessings that come to us now, even while we sojourn here, not to mention those blessings that are waiting for us in glory. Jesus wept. Brothers and sisters, those of you that know Christ, take that home and know that those tears were mingled with blood. So when you go out in your day tomorrow or even this afternoon, remember the first commandment is the one that has the most promise. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your strength. And if you love God that much, then you will be a blessing to him, and you'll be a blessing to others. Jesus wept. Let's pray. Father, the human mind can never wrap itself around salvation, really, knowing exactly what happened, but we do know this. We know, Lord, that we have been saved. We know, Lord, that we have been empowered by your Spirit to live a Christocentric life. So we ask you, Father, to help us as we leave this place to be worthy of our calling in Christ. Help us to remember that before he died, he wept. And then, Lord, he was willing to go to the cross and say, "It is finished," and it was for all of us. And we pray, Father, that you would burn that into the fleshly tablets of our heart, that we might be better servants, that we might be, Lord, better Christians, husbands and wives. Help us, Father, because without you we can do nothing. All this we ask in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Our closing hymn.